This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Thursday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show. This morning is Jace. Our sponsors today, Allied Industrial Sales, the CCA Star Tournament, Belleville Meat Market, and Boyd's One Stop. All right, 74 down on the island this morning, and looks like we'll have some sunshine today for a change. Sunshine and clouds mixed, high of 79, southeast winds 10 to 20, and then for tonight, cloudy skies with a low of 74, southeast winds 10 to 15, and for tomorrow, partly cloudy, high around 80, south-southeast winds 10 to 20 miles per hour, so things are looking much better than yesterday. I hope somebody needed rain, they got their fair share of it yesterday. Because, man, over my way, we had some pretty good downpours. All right, looking at tides for today. These are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We have four of them. We're sitting on a low right now. A high right now. We have a low coming up at 8:13 a.m. It's an 0.5 coming off a 1.3. Then a high at 2:45 p.m., it's a 1.3. And then a low at 8:33 p.m., it's an 0.6. 6:43 a.m. is sunrise, and 7:51 p.m. sunset. Our moon phase right now is 22%. Current conditions right now, looking offshore, southeast at 11, and air temperature 74, water temp is 77. And at the Galveston Channel, 74 degrees with 78-degree water. Southeast winds 5 to 10. Eagle Point, pretty much the same. 75 degrees, 76-degree water. South-southeast, 13 to 15. And Morgan's Point, 73 degrees with 76-degree water. East-southeast winds 10 to 14 miles per hour. Barometric pressure, 29.93 inches and steady. All right. That should do it. All right, let's head over to Sabine Lake. Let's get cranked up with the Watkins this morning. Captain Bill Watkins, that is. See what he's up to. Good morning, Bill. Doing all right? Well, I don't think we have Bill. He's there. Is he turned up? Try to call him back and see what happens. I bet we didn't reach him. Or some kind of disconnect. You never know these days. But, no, it was when people got out and fished this week, it was another good week of fishing. A lot of fish caught. And that's a good thing. Everybody's starting to do better, more consistent all over the bay system. And we've got a little runoff from these storms. I never did check my rain gauge. The sun went down before I decided to check it last night. So, but I've got a pretty good idea. It was in around 2 to 3 inches in my area. Let's try Bill now. Bill, are you there, my friend?
Oh, yeah. I drove through the dead spot here on the highway. I said, whoops, lost him.
Man, you think with all the cell towers everywhere and 5G and all this stuff, you know, you'd never lose signal.
No, it doesn't work. this one, like a 200-yard stretch on my highway that it'll drop. And it, sometimes it does, sometimes it don't. You know, it, lots of trees in that area.
Yeah.
So anyway, how many inches you think you got?
Man, I'm guessing 2 to 3, maybe. Well, I'm not counting the morning downpours, but I know that one yesterday afternoon, man, we had some high winds and, I mean, raining cats and dogs kind of rain, you know, heavy.
Yeah. I didn't check my rain gauge this morning. I was too bleary-eyed when I walked past it. But
yeah, you and me both.
I think it camped on me in rain for probably 4 hours. Off and on.
Boy, it did slow down when it got over your way.
Oh, good grief. Yeah, it just drug across. I thought, well, my garden's going to be wet for quite a while.
Yes. Yeah, I had water standing everywhere this morning when I left. What a mess.
Yeah, we get too much when we finally get it.
Yes. No moderation in the state of Texas?
No.
We ought to know better than to talk about normal, because there's not any.
there is no normal. And,
no.
I was already plenty fresh in Sabine Lake anyway. Fresh and dirty water, but there's fish in it.
Yes.
I mean, I had to kind of wait out the high tide. The last couple of days, we did really good. I mean, we caught some nice trout. I mean, you know, up to 3 pounds. And those sea run, tide runners, boy, those things are so muscular. And
yeah.
I got to talking to my three guests, and we got talking about how strong those fish are. And it's not just the current that they're in. It's just they're so muscular. And they got to noticing how much more powerful those fish were.
Hard bodies.
We fished the lake early, and then we'd come back and fish the ship channel on the high tide.
Yeah.
Because those fish would not move up to feed unless there was a high tide coming in. And I mean a booming high tide, too. You know, when it come in, it was rushing in. And at first, you couldn't even fish it because you had to kind of wait till it started idling, you know. Mm-hmm. And then it slowed down, and you could catch those fish. But my Chinese lithium-ion battery got a workout yesterday. I mean, to tell you, that current was so strong. We fished way up in the lake, about halfway up the Louisiana shoreline. And those fish were not as, they weren't as big as the ones we were catching down in the channel, of course.
Right.
And so we had some 13 and a half inchers. Probably had, I don't know, probably 18 head when we left the lake and a nice flounder, and come on back down in the channel. And the miracle lure of the day was a Kay Widler Balltail 4-inch or a Mirror Lure Little John. No surprise.
Shocking.
There. You could throw either one of those.
That's shocking.
Yeah, how shocking.
And, yeah.
They got to digging through everything that I had with a yellow tail on it, you know,
Fine
true tail. And they decided that was their confidence lure. And it really did seem to make a difference that we settled in finally on that Dayglow Little John with a lime true tail.
Right.
And that was the magic up in the, you know, bright sun.
Day glow then, for day fishing and night glow for night fishing.
Yeah, how you figure that?
You know, that bait's been around a long time and caught a lot of fish, kind of like the lime truce. your purples, your blacks. It's, I think it's basically up to the angler. You know, whatever they get them going on, you got to stick with it. And
I mean, yeah,
I'm not going to be in the middle of fish and change colors just to, I don't know, unless you're on a lot of them, then you can play and do some experimenting. But
yeah, and I finally threw a strawberry sparkle ball tail with a white tail, and I was catching them on that too.
There you go.
No surprise.
Come on with it.
Yeah. I told those guys, I said, look, I don't worry about lure color that much, but in this staying water, you know, that bright lime truce or a white, the sparkles, it'll get you caught every time. You don't have to even think about it. Just put one of those on. And yesterday evening, I found some that my last package of money, you know, that little John that's...
Oh, yeah, you know, that it's really an ugly bait in my books. But
it's an ugly bait.
Isn't it called like new money or just straight money? I can't remember, but
yeah, I'm gonna throw that this morning. I'm gonna throw that on them and say, hey, look at this.
This is
that was my
right
last
here.
Package. I've been hoarding it back. shoot, I finally found it again. I said, okay, this is gonna get used today. But you know, instead of fiddling around with colors, go fishing and find the fish.
Yeah.
That's where you'll have success.
Technique and presentation, that's a big part of it. Probably the biggest part of it, catching them.
Yeah. If you're fishing where the fish are, you're not going to catch it.
Well, that helps too. Yeah, that helps.
You
got to be in
it. And they were not showing any signs that they were where they were. Finally found maybe one good fish, like a 15-incher here and there on points and the mouth of a drain, but it'd just be one good fish. And somebody would catch him, and I figured, well, we just might as well crank up and leave, because that's all there is here. And we cast and cast and cast and try to find that pattern, and there was no more fish there. And you'd catch that fish really quick. And then go on, you know, might as well leave. We did that after the sun got up real good and picked up an extra fish here and an extra fish there. You know, just one way or another, you can catch one on a point or a corner or somewhere that a mouth of a drain. We had an outgoing tide in the lake, and by the time we got back down to the channel, it was roaring in.
Yeah.
So that was the ideal tide. But anyway, we caught a pretty good pile of nice trout.
You know, that's what's unique about Sabine, and even next door to you over there at Calcasieu, you got that one funnel, that one pass coming into the system, and
yeah,
those currents are so strong, and it just replenishes that lower end and everything with salt water underneath that fresh water, and that's why those fish never really get flushed out unless you have like a Harvey event, you know, something like that.
Yeah, that wipes us out.
I mean, Sabine's always been like that. If you pull in over there and go, man, this water looks terrible, let's leave. Don't. Try fishing it first. I mean, it's just amazing
right.
How those fish in that dirtier water, they bite over there in that dirty water.
Yeah, shoot, yeah. And yes, they will bite lures, too.
Yeah.
They'll pull your arm off.
Well, let's face it, there's not a ton of places you can buy bait over there.
No. I saw a guy yesterday. I don't know his name, but he's a part-time guide. And he was using live shrimp and popping corn. I don't know where he got those live shrimp, but they caught some reds and throwback some reds, and they caught a couple of three trout. And I pulled up on the opposite side of them about 7,500 yards away.
Right.
And we went to whacking them on the Little John. I mean, they was just, I mean, they were there. And a bunch of them. But it was pretty neat to go tit for tat, heads up against live bait. I ain't scared of that.
No.
If you pull up 30 yards from a guy that's got live croaker during that time of year when they're on croaker, you might as well just leave and go on. Go find you some more fish.
Exactly. All right, hang on. Let me knock this break out. I'll be right back, Bill. Hang with me. All right. Well, hey, anglers, are you ready to hook into something big? It's time for the Matagorda Slam Fishing Tournament. That's happening tomorrow, so today's the last day you can sign up. You can kick it off at the captain's meeting tonight and dinner at Rusty Hook Ranch. Calcutta and dinner, all the trimmings, Rudy's barbecue, cold drinks, and get in on the action before you even hit the water. Then it's game on tomorrow morning, safe light launch, and weigh-in will be from 2 to 4 p.m. at the Matagorda Harbor. So bring your A-game, your best team, and your lucky rods. Entry fee is just $400 per team. Here's the best part. Your entry includes all-you-can-eat crawfish on Saturday at the legendary Matagorda Slam Crawfish Cook-Off. And proceeds benefit the Hookspit Junior Anglers Association, helping get more kids on the water and into the great outdoors. Spots are filling fast, so get signed up today. That's MatagordaSlam.com. That's MatagordaSlam.com. Get ready to slam.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And we would like to tell you a little bit about our podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crimedy.
I do extensive investigative research and go deep into the darkest corners of the human psyche.
And I'm just here to lighten things up a little bit with humor, baby. You know, never at the expense of the victims, though, obviously.
Come join our family of little psychos over on Psychopedia. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It's 4:19. All right, Bill, we're back, my friend.
All right, I'm here with
you. Still have signal. We got it.
Still have signal. I'm in the middle of downtown Viterville right now. So
Viterville.
Yeah, I've got signal. I got signal wall to wall, treetop tall.
Well, boy, I didn't have power yesterday, and it wasn't the weather that knocked it out. They were hauling some big equipment out there down my road I live off of, and some guy in a bucket truck, he put where the cable wires come across the highway in front of my house. I'm the last one on the leg, and power and, you know, internet and all that. Well, he lifts up all the internet and cable, and he pushes it up too high, and it hits the power lines above it, and
oh,
I hear it sound like somebody shot a shotgun in my driveway. I was eating breakfast, and I ran out there, and I saw what had happened. So I have no power. And they said, oh, we'll have you hooked back up by noon. You know, I think it just tripped a breaker or whatever. I don't know. But, well, finally, yesterday evening, I had enough. My wife goes, well, we're fixing to have to go get a room. Well, I'm not, you know, we got to have some power. We got to watch the Astros game. I said, well, you know, I bought a new generator. Let's try it out. So I get all that hooked up and get the whole house going. I mean, we're doing great. Then we get a text on the phone. We're here, and we'll have you going in a few minutes. And after all of that, and they got me going about 5 o'clock, man. I'm going, this is just, this is not fair.
Well, I'll tell you what, that guy in the bucket truck, he's lucky he didn't get killed.
Well, he wasn't in the bucket. He was just using the bucket to push the cables up. He was standing on the ground.
That was dumb.
Yeah, another Darwin Award winner. amazing.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. You're moving around with that stuff.
And my wife's TV, the one she watches, we had it on, and now, you know, it works, but no sound. I'm going to have to go buy her a new TV today.
Oh, no.
Yeah, she's not happy. So she had to sit in the den with me and watch the Astros game last night with me instead of having her own room.
That's tough.
Oh, life's hard, isn't it?
Yeah, life is hard.
I remember when I was a kid, we had one console TV, and nobody stole them back then because they weighed more than a refrigerator. Remember all that we grew up with?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody have to watch the same program at the same time.
Yep. And there were only three.
Yeah, three channels.
That was it.
The alphabet
ABC,
channels.
NBC, and CBS.
That's it.
And I've seen everything in the last 10 years. I've seen everything that I watched as a kid probably 5 times over.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you get on those other cable channels. They've got all the old shows we grew up watching.
Oh, yeah.
And some of the cartoons, if you can find them. They're kind of, well, they consider the cartoons we watched as violent these days.
Oh, good grief.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the kids are all shooting each other out there on the street.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we need to go back to that.
You think?
Yeah. Yes, I do. You could walk down my street when I was a kid. I could walk myself to school, you know, 6 blocks away.
Oh, yeah. And
no problem. Didn't have to worry about gang violence or none of that.
Well, now with the kids getting off school bus, they won't let them out unless their parents are there waiting on them when they get off.
That's pretty scary.
It is scary. It's not right.
No.
But fishing's good anyway.
Fishing's good.
Take them fishing. Yeah. I don't think we got to worry about too much violence out on the water.
Yeah, not unless you get too close to a guy with a bad temper.
Yeah. Somebody goes postal on you. But
I hadn't had that happen in a while.
No, it's been a while. People are.
I try to be extremely.
You know, as bad
respectful.
As I hate to say this, people are getting better about their etiquette. You know, the real fishermen are. They always have been. I mean, it's not Yahoo season yet, but it's getting there.
It is getting there.
Hey, let word get out about birds working, and they're coming, baby.
Oh, yeah. You know, I would rather do anything than fish birds.
You know, and used to that, we just couldn't wait for the birds to start working so we could get fast, quick limits and get on out of there, but not anymore. If I see a school of birds working, I hope my customers don't see it. I just go the other way. As soon as you pull
that's
in.
That's the best plan.
And the fish are not as good a quality as they used to be under birds, you know, diving gulls. As the sports writers print it, instead of working birds, they're diving gulls.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, My favorite bird of all time is that big old tern.
That big tern. Big old black eyebrowed yellow beak tern, buddy. That's a fish hawk.
I like those guys.
And then the stupid laughing gulls, they'll pull in and run him off of his own school he found.
Yeah. Yeah, they're poachers.
Yeah.
Hairy legged old poachers. That's right. But yeah, every once in a while I have to do that. But you know, I've not seen birds working really like they can in Sabine. I've not seen them all year.
Well, it's not that we don't have the shrimp. You know, we got a ton of shrimp.
Oh yeah, we got that. There's down at Lighthouse Cove. Every once in a while, early in the morning, they'll be picking where the bait's washing up. You know, over the reef.
Uh-huh.
And you can find a few fish like that. But as far as, you know, gulls up in the lake proper, it hasn't happened at all.
Yeah.
Not one time.
The little lesser terns are real plentiful right now. You know, the little head knockers. They're, you know, picking glass minnows up. Man, we've got a ton of, all different size kind of bait fish, you know, the little tiny glass minnows and the little thumbnail size shad. And then you've got the 3, 4, and 5 inch shad mixed in with that, and finger mullet and horse mullet. I mean, the bait variety's good right now for them.
Yeah, it is. Down on the, now I haven't fished above halfway up the lake, but I'm shying away from that because it's pretty fresh up there around the Sabine, but I'm sure Coffee Ground Cove's got some bait in it, and probably trout too. Yeah, it always does, the way it's positioned.
Boy, and that cove can get air clear. I mean, you can be idling around in 6 feet of water, you know, headed towards the shoreline and just see the bottom, you know, when the lake's right. That water stays clean up there for whatever reason.
Yeah, the Sabine River kicks out and goes around it.
Yeah, I think so, too. Yeah.
It'll backfill, and sometime in November and December, you can count shells on the bottom in seven foot of water.
Exactly.
And it's just the prettiest place. And that dark, clear, tannic water.
Uh-huh.
You know, and you can just count shells. You get the sun angle right, you can see it just like it's not, there's nothing there. And it's kind of a phenomenon. And that'll be the clearest water on the lake lots of times.
Yeah, it's...
And there's fish up there most of the time, if you can have the patience to find them.
Mm-hmm.
I've got lots of GPS waypoints up there, you know.
Well, there's so many places they can be, you know.
Yeah. But right now, I'm fishing mid-lake south.
Right.
You know, that's my position. So, and with all the fresh water flow, you know, I'm not going to worry about Coffee Ground right now. And those tide runners are starting to move in. And I just love catching those things.
They're strong.
Oh, man.
You know, you pick up a resident fish and feel the difference in firmness, you know, with a fish versus a tide runner. They're just real hard and stiff, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, they've been out there in training.
They've been working out.
They've
been working out, buddy. All right, Bill. Hey, man, I hope you get some fish today. Looks like the weather's going to cooperate for you. So
I hope so, man.
You got it,
brother. Been dodging rain showers for 2 days, and hopefully this will be the day that we get to really get at them.
Yeah, you can come in without that drowned rat look. All right, man. Well, if somebody wants to call you about coming over and fishing with you, Bill, give them some info how they can reach you, my friend.
Well, just call 409-673-9211 or fishsabinelake.com.
All right, bud. Well, hey, save some for seed.
Yeah, I will do it.
I know you will. See you, man.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. All right, that's Bill Watkins over Sabine Lake. Well, I need to take a moment to tell everybody about the 36th annual CCA Texas Star Tournament. That's all brought to you by your Texas Ford dealers, Progressive Insurance, and Academy Sports and Outdoors. That's coming up. That'll start Memorial Day weekend. So get signed up today. Take advantage of up to $1.9 million in prizes and scholarships for inshore and offshore divisions. 120 tagged redfish will be released in Texas inshore waters and give you a chance to win a boat and truck package. Great opportunity. And with other species like gafftop, drum, and sheephead, you can offshore fish for great prizes when you catch red snapper, ling, dolphin, and kingfish. Just go to startournament.org for rules, entry, and prize information. The CCA Star Tournament is brought to you by great sponsors like Mercury Marine, Lone Star, Hoff Power Polaris, Mouty Boats, Texas Fish and Game Magazine, ABC 13, Cryptek, and Coastline Trailers. Go to startournament.org, call 713-626-4222, and get signed up today. Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It is 434 here in the Bayou City. Let's run up to Lake Conroe now. Let's check in with our good friend, the fish dude, old Richard Totch. Hey, Richard, what's up, buddy?
Not a lot, Mickey. How you doing this morning?
Oh, man, I'm here, brother. I'm here.
Good deal. Good deal, man. I tell you what, it's trying to get a little foggy, it looks like, this morning. Not very much.
After all that rain, did you get a lot of that rain yesterday, too?
Well, yeah, it come blowing through. You know, it didn't really, you know, maybe an inch or so. It just wasn't, it wasn't a lot, but it's enough to kind of wet everything down. So,
yeah. That's good.
Yeah, ain't no doubt about it. But I'll tell you what, it's one of them things where, you know, we're gonna crappie fish this morning. But I'll tell you what, Tuesday, fishing, you know, I've been fishing them Tuesday night tournaments every week. And I'll tell you what, this last week, I probably had more fun fishing that Tuesday night than I've ever had, or even it been on, since I've been on the water for a long time. I mean, it was, I ran across a bunch of schoolies. they were schooling on top, and I guarantee you, for an hour and a half, Mickey, I caught a fish every single cast, with the exception of maybe a dozen casts. I didn't catch a fish.
But, dang.
I mean, it was just crazy. And I knew they wasn't going to do me no good, but I couldn't leave them. I wasn't going to leave them at all. I mean, it was, out of all that, I had one keeper out of the bunch. Everything else was 15 and a half inches, 14 inches, stuff like that. But, man, when you get in them like that where they're just,
right,
where they're just kind of breaking out all around you, it's like I power pulled down on them, and I went to chunking that pop-r at them, and just literally every
cast. Oh, you're
cast,
catching them on the old Zell Roland pop-r's, man?
You're not kidding. That's it. That's the one.
Where old Zell Roland's at these days? I hadn't run into him in a long time, man.
He used to fish these Tuesdays every once in a while, and I talked to him, but I hadn't seen him in two or three years, so I don't know what in the world he's up to.
Good guy,
nowadays,
man. But, good old boy.
Oh, man, great, great guy. The very first time I ever met him was on Livingston back in the 80s, and I was putting in at Waterwood down there on the south end of, well, kind of mid-lake on Livingston. It's kind of not north, not south, but kind of mid.
Right.
And I was loading up, and he was loading up also, because that's back when they had a Bassmasters tournament over on Livingston. And we sat there and talked for, I bet, an hour, and he was just trying to clean up his boat and stuff like that. And we just kept on talking about this and that. So he just, you know, just a great guy. And you're right, though. He's the pop R king. I mean, and that's what I was thinking.
He put the pop R on the map, baby. We were even catching trout on him back in the day. I was throwing him. Remember when he was on the All-Star pro staff, and All-Star built him a top water rod? And
yep.
I was in there one day, and I told Morgan, I said, I want to try one of those topwater rods. Give me one of them. And that was my go-to rod on the bay, you know, throwing jumping minnows and, you know, the baits we threw back then. Great rod.
I'll tell you what.
Perfect action for topwater.
It was. That's exactly right. You know, that's the thing. You can't have one that's too stiff. You can't have one that's too flimsy. It's just got to be kind of right there in that middle seam.
It was in between. It was just right.
Yep, and because if you overload it and overpull them, you'll pull them off. If you don't give them enough,
right,
then then they'll come off. I mean, it's just crazy. But it's, I'll tell you what, that rascal, he'd chuck that pop bar everywhere too. I guarantee you, yeah. It didn't make no difference. That's like years ago, I fished I don't even remember what it was. ESPN was covering it up. I was up there at Richland Chambers and fished with Basil Bacon, and he was chunking he chunked a Zara Spook all day long. It's like, good night. He wouldn't set it down. I mean, but he caught some big fish on it. You know, he didn't catch a lot, but everything he caught was big. And I was sitting there, you know, I was just amazed at him. I said, I don't understand how you can throw that thing and make it work like it does. Because, I mean, he could make that thing do backflips and all kinds of stuff. It was just, he said, just working on slack line, son, working on slack line. I said, all right, I'll figure it out. Because, I mean, that was a long time ago. That was in the early, mid-90s, something like that. And it was, you know, and like him, I don't know whatever happened to him either. I think he was out of Missouri, mm-hmm. but he was a good guy too, and he always tickled me because we'd come up to some guys throwing a Carolina rig, and he goes, look at him, throwing an idiot rig. I said, why you call it? I said, why do you call it idiot rig? He says, any old idiot can catch fish on that. And it's okay, it's pretty much
hell,
true.
Babe, I think I better go to an idiot rig so I can get some bites here, man.
I hear you. But I'll tell you what, it was a blast just fishing with him because he'd been doing it so dang long by then. You know, he was one of the original BASS guys anyway. Uh-huh. You know, so
yeah.
I mean, it's fun fishing with those guys back then because they, you know, they didn't have any of the technology we got nowadays. It was all the old school
stuff.
They
just went fishing, man.
They went fishing and they caught fish. I mean, that was a blast. You know, that was just after the flasher.
The flasher craze, out, you know? Man.
Yeah. So. I mean, it was one of those things, and you know, believe it or not, those flasher depth finders, I loved them. I mean, I got so used to them, it's like, okay, this I can pretty much tell what's down there. You know, you couldn't tell size or shape or nothing like that, but you could dang sure tell if there was something down there, you could see it because it's gonna pop up.
I promise you.
There ain't no doubt, and it's you know, once you got used to it, it's one of those things where you just had to have it. And as you know, it's like the paper grass. You know, the paper grass didn't hang around very long, but I still got two of them at the house. So it's right. Just one of those deals where you go along there and get everything adjusted right, and you can go through and see the bottom contours. You can tell a brush pile, you can tell a stump, you can see it all.
I'd draw it for you just like an etch a sketch.
It dang sure would. I mean, that's exactly what it's like.
When you stop the fish, you got to remember to turn the thing off and not waste your paper.
I know, because that sucker, you'd hear it sitting back there just a humming, boy.
And then you'd run out of paper. You couldn't find any rolls. Everybody was out of it. It was a nightmare.
Oh, yeah. Then the needles. You had to get the needles every once in a while. So
or stylus or whatever they called it, yeah.
Right, they called it a stylus, yeah. That's what it was. So it was yeah, it's one of those things.
We've come a long way, buddy.
Yeah, you ain't kidding. You ain't kidding. But I'll tell you, I mean, I remember what I used to do is I'd take, when I was marking areas, I'd take and open my door up and I'd have a pencil or a pen and I'd put a line here and a line there and right on top of it, this is from here to here. This, you know, you didn't have GPS coordinates back then, but you'd write, you know, certain areas of the lake or wherever and you'd say point A, point B, you know, explain what it was in that one little section. So, but it's like I say, I love the new stuff. You know, that's as me and some guys were talking the other night, you know, and it's and they're older guys too. And I told them, you know, all this controversy about the forward facing sonar and stuff, I don't understand it. I mean, to me, it's a challenge just to learn it. And so, when you
still got to catch them, you still got to throw a lure out there and make them bite it, you know.
That's exactly right, you know. But the thing is, once you kind of get used to it, a lot of them you catch a lot of them. I mean, because just for example, the other day I was out there. I've been getting into this glide bait stuff. I think I've talked about it before. I've been trying to catch some fish on it. Finally got me a bite on a glide bait anyway, but I didn't catch it. But I was out there the other day, kind of going along some rocks, and looking around, and I saw a school of about six fish out there. They were about 80 feet out, and I said, foot on it. I grabbed up a crankbait, chunked it out there, and first cast in, caught one of them. And I couldn't catch the rest of them, but I caught one of them. So
yeah.
It was, you know, and I saw him bite it. You know, that's the thing. You get out there, you know, in certain situations, you can see them and you can catch them, you know, especially open water fish. You know, those open water fish, a lot of time, they don't see a bait, you know, because nobody's fishing for them. You know, they're just chasing schools of shad. And as they do that, you know, all you got to do is just get something out there in them, and it'll, you know, like the shad assassin on the jig head. I mean, you can chunk it out there and get them rascals. I mean, they'll just eat it up. And then, but then that's like a crankbait too. As long as you got one that'll get down in that depth range that they're in, you chunk it out there and they'll eat it. I mean, that's what they're doing. They're out there chasing bait. So anything that's trying to run from them, they're going to go try to get, for the most part anyway. And then the other side of it is you'll see a lot of them that they'll chase it, but they'll never get it, you know, and that's one of those things that I've yet to figure out is how can they chase it, you know, 20, 30 feet and then just never even get it. You know, they won't catch up to it. They'll just follow it. You know, it's like, okay, you know, is it the wrong kind of fish? Is it, you know, what is it? You know, is it something that I'm not looking for? Is it something not big enough? You know, is it something that's just smarter than I am? What is it? You know, them rascals, they get out there and figure it out. But, you know, that's like I say, that's still the thing. You still got to catch them, no matter if you see them or not. You got to catch
it.
Those rascals.
Still got to trick them. Still got to trick them.
That's it. But it's nice knowing that they're sitting there. That's the main thing.
Well, that's definitely a confidence boost right there. You know you're in them. You see them, and you're watching them on TV, and all you got to do is keep chunking and figure out what they want.
That's it. You know, and that's like brush piles. There's no, you know, if you're chunking at brush piles, there's no wasted cast. You know, you're absolutely where you're throwing.
Sure.
You're not, you know, you're not missing it by 10 feet. You're not, you know, you're throwing right at it. So that's the best.
You know,
part
and that correlates with saltwater fishing too. I mean, 90% of the time, the fish you catch are going to be on some sort of structure. Structure is
yep.
the key.
It always has been. You know,
because
that's
it holds bait,
structure.
And naturally it holds
yep.
fish. It's cover
that's
for bait.
That's exactly right.
And sometimes cover for fish.
Yep, exactly. I mean, and the cover can be anything. It can be a post.
Yeah.
It can be a drop-off. It could be, you know, it could be a swing in a channel. It can be anything like that, you know. It could be a rock.
A bottom undulation. It don't even have to be 6 inches higher than the rest, you know. It just some
that's
kind
what's,
of, you know.
Just something. Yep,
that's it.
Just something. That's the main thing, you know. And once you figure out what they're on that particular day, you're good. And then, you know, they'll change up the next day, but you got to figure it out every day. That's the part of
exactly.
That's the part that keeps you going. You know, that's why you go every day, so you figure it out.
All right, man. Well, hey, I'm glad you caught a bunch of fish Tuesday night. Somebody wants to come up to Conroe and, you know, catch some crappie, bass, catfish, what have you. Don't forget about them hybrids either. Call Richard.
Oh, no.
give him some info, brother.
Anybody can get in touch with me at 936-661-7920. You can find me on Facebook. Just check out the Fish Dudes Guide Service. You can email me at admin@fishdudetx.com or just check out the webpage, fishdudetx.com.
All right, buddy. Richard, have a good day, man. At least the weather's going to be
yes.
nice today.
Yes, sir. Y'all have fun.
We will. You do the same. See ya.
All right.
Later. All right. That's the Fish Dude up on Conroe. Now we're going to go down to Matagorda and check in with Captain Charlie P. this morning. Hey, Charlie. What's up?
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Well, you know, fighting the wind, the rain.
I'm telling you. Boy, did y'all get
the elements.
Rain down there?
You know, Mickey, it hit yesterday morning about 8 o'clock. You know, we tried to go out. I took them out, and East Bay was pretty torn up from that east wind. And all up and down the south shoreline, there's birds working, but they're dinks. They're all dinks.
Right.
So, you know, if you're not wading, it's pretty tough until that, you know, water settles out in the bay now. I kept getting calls from a couple of the guys who were waiting it out at the dock, and that threatening weather was coming, and they said, man, we're getting ready to get hit heavy. So I took them back in, and it rained for 2 or 3 hours, and they decided they wanted to go home. So,
right.
About 11 o'clock, it cleared off, and it was pretty nice the rest of the day. But it was windy.
We had rain
real windy.
The morning like that, same thing. Then it went away, and then, boy, it came back in the afternoon. A lot of that stuff that y'all had went offshore, and then it curled back and came up through us.
Yeah. No, in fact, late yesterday, it looked like it calmed down, and, you know, bay probably cleared up pretty good for today.
Well, I hope so.
I've got waders today that want to go west, so we're going to go down there looking around, see what we can do.
Go west, young man, go west.
Yeah, buddy. That's what'll happen.
Sometimes west is best.
Yeah.
Except for the wind direction.
Except for the wind direction. Yeah, me neither. You know, at least we got east-southeast winds, where we were last week we were fighting south and southwest with with those super low tides. They've come back. Although they weren't as high yesterday morning in East Bay as I expected them to be, but we'll see what happens today.
Man,
today is another day.
Fight that low water stuff like we did all year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was talking to somebody the other day that fishes a lot, and he goes, is it just me, or was there a lot of low water this year after, you know, first of the year? I said, I can't ever recall having that many low water days for that long a period, you know?
That's right.
It's crazy.
That's right. The world keeps changing, so why not the tides, too?
Why
they
not?
They gotta change, too.
Everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It looks like we got a good stretch of weather for the rest of the weekend. It ought to be all right.
Well,
I didn't see many people fishing yesterday. There was about 6 guides that I saw. I know Brett Sweeney was wading. I don't know whether he got on them or not. He caught them the day before. But we'll see what we can do today. Did the Astros win last night? I don't get them down here.
We won 5 out of 6 now.
Took two out of three
off the Padres, and just, man, Toronto, though, I almost feel sorry for them because the way we manhandled them, you know, the last couple of years. It's pitiful.
Yeah.
But our bats are starting to, I mean, you know, and I've always said it, all we need to do is get a few hits and a few runs to beat these teams. We just can't get anything going because our pitching's holding up really nice, a lot better than I thought it was going to. These guys are doing a heck of a job.
I don't know. We just, we're so used to having that super quality team that we don't have it. You know, we got a bunch of good ball players, but
they're coming around. You know, Walker's he's been on fire the last 2 games, and DeCenzo, man, we need to try and find a full-time position for him. He's been on fire, and Pena still got his hit streak going, 14 games, and coming around. Guiner hit a triple last night. He unhooked a trailer and headed to third, buddy.
By the time he does something, we need to get him going big time.
Yeah, him and Walker, we get those two going. That's key components. And
I was watching the
And Yordan. I mean, he hadn't even woke up yet. Wait till he gets going. That'll be nasty.
Yeah. Well, we got possibilities. It's just
I mean, I've seen a lot worse Astro teams than you have too. I'll take this one. I kind of like these guys. I'm getting accustomed to them.
I was watching the Dodgers and the Cubs. I think Tucker's already got 14 home runs this year. I think that's what I saw.
Well, that's typical. Anybody, look at Joe Morgan. We got rid of him. Look, all of them. I mean, hey, that's just
baseball.
It is. Springer
that's
started
what it
off,
is.
You know, with Toronto. He's got him a good quick start this year. He's looking good. I didn't. Yep. He's already 35 years old. That's hard to believe, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
When he was just a kid playing for us.
How old is Altuve now?
About 80. No.
He's in his 30s, isn't he?
Upper 30s, got to be, man. He's up there. He's he's a senior on the team now. Little booger.
He is one.
Little ball player, man. They all said he was too little to play ball. He proved them wrong.
He's a good hand. That's what he is.
He is, except for base running. His base running skills. He got caught off, you know, in between again the other night.
Yeah.
It's just, that's his only hiccups a lot of times. And some of the stuff he swings at, you go, man, why did he? But then you watch him, he'll reach out over the plate, ball its foot outside, and yank it to left field.
Get a hit.
That's just crazy.
Yep. Yep.
He's good. Can't take that away from him.
Pleasure to watch.
Yeah. Like you said, it's baseball.
Yes, sir.
All right, Charlie. Well, hey, man, I wish you the best today. You got good weather. You don't have to worry about storms and go west and nuke them. How they get a hold of you, bud?
Cell phone, 713-725-2401.
All right, Charlie. Well, you have a good one. I'll talk to you Saturday. See what's up.
Take care, man. Mickey.
All right, buddy.
Yes, sir.
All right, that's Captain Charlie Paradosky in Matagorda. And the Belleville Meat Market, what a great place to shop for grade A cuts of beef, pork, and chicken, not to mention their spectacular processing facility. They have a full menu of pecan smoked barbecue. They serve that Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., along with pecan smoked pulled pork and homemade hot dogs. They're now available on the menu also. And check out their bulk pricing that's available on fresh ground beef and all pecan smoked sausage. And they were introducing their new Chuck Wagon patties. I heard these are really good. They're half-pound beef patties seasoned with cheddar cheese. And if you're getting any wild game processed, they never close. They're open year-round. And check out their new sausage recipe that's available. It's really good. You got to try it and get some deer tamales made, venison hot dogs. Your family will love that you did. And the Belleville's been celebrating over 42 years serving the greater Houston community. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name.